Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. How are you? So thank you. Welcome for coming back to my channel. Sorry, for technical reasons, wasn't able to do them for a couple of days, but here I am back online. Anyway, when is this much awaited, much vaunted Ukrainian spring offensive? Because we're into early summer now. It's the latter half of May. And the Ukrainians saying, we're not ready yet, we're preparing. That may be a blind because it's already begun, but not on a huge scale, not as dramatic as you might think. And attacking particularly in Bakhmut. But again, that might be a decoy because the Russian spring offensive, if you can call it that, whatever, the winter began in January in a sense, petered out, never seemed to have really begun. And it was absolutely pathetic in Bakhmut. I couldn't believe this was it. Is that diversion? Where's the main thrust going to come? And there is no main thrust. So it seemed to have no offensive capability. So attacking cities often said to be very unwise, is very hard to make rapid progress, which is why at the beginning of the war, Russia chose to bypass urban centers and go through the countryside. We'll deal with the cities later. We can surround them. If they don't capitulate, we'll just bombard them until they do. But anyway, trying to get through Bakhmut, a city of not any particular strategic significance, and a few roads and railway lines there, but they can be blown up, they can be mined. Your military vehicles can go across country anyway. So Yevgeny Prigozhin had a lot of his fighters there from Wagner Group. Remember, they're actually not part of the Russian armed forces. Not all of them are Russian. Most of them are a few Belarusian, a few Serbian, a few recruited from Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, often Gastarbeiter, who are in Russia, offered higher wages, offered fast-track citizenship. Russian jailbirds let out early these cons to have their criminal records wiped out in 6 4 months of service. And Russia's trumpeted the fact they've actually done it to encourage more of them to come forward. But anyway, Prigozhin was saying he was going to pull out of the city a couple of weeks ago if he didn't get more ammunition than he was. Then that extraordinary video of him posing what appeared to be cadavers of his men and saying, you know, the blood is still fresh. There'd be five times fewer of these if we provided ammunition. And then saying that Russian troops are running for their lives. He seems to have some sort of permission to say this because you don't dissent well easily in Russia. You know, you could be severely punished for, you know, disinformation about the war. Is it a 20-year sentence? But he's quite a big beast. Putin would be reluctant to bring him down. He's been a faithful servant of Putin's for many years. Why was he openly saying this? I thought, is this some sort of elaborate blind to pretend to be retreating when they're actually not, to try and induce the Ukrainians to attack where actually the Russians are quite strong? But it seems to be actually been genuine. And so far, the Ukrainians have made considerable progress. I mean, probably only a few hundred meters, might not seem much, but the Russian campaign has been going forward at a snail's pace. I really mean a snail's pace. They've been going on attacking there since August. So that's almost 10 months. And have they gone forward about 10 kilometers in that time in Bakhmut? I really think a snail could go faster than that. So the Russians for a few months have anticipated this Ukrainian spring offensive is going to come. The Ukrainians have requested 300 Western tanks. They've got about 230, but they've got all sorts of other equipment. So therefore, the Russians have been digging defense in depth. So several echelons of anti-tank trenches, where machine gun nests to cover if any infantry coming, and barbed wire, sometimes minefields, things like that, dragon's teeth to stop tanks and other vehicles. So there's ought to be quite a tough nut to crack, but then leaving gaps in it so they can fight the Ukrainians on the ground of their own choosing. But I suppose where the Russians were least expecting it was Bakhmut, where they've been so slow going and therefore didn't dig defences there because they were on the attack there. And maybe that's why the Ukrainians have chosen to attack there. Again, I suspect this is a diversionary attack from the Ukrainians. They want to misdirect them and probably be a stab down towards the Sea of Azov, break the land bridge between Russia and Crimea and so on. Incidentally, a train was derailed on its way to Crimea just today, and presumably that was due to Ukrainian action. So it seems to me that the Ukrainian counteroffensive is already underway, but I suspect this is not the main line of attack we shall see. And it's astonishing that the Russian armed forces have always been so incompetent. They've always surprised people just how ineffective they are. And their air campaign is failing. Just a few days ago, two warplanes and two helicopters brought down inside Russia. Ukraine suggesting it's not them, which they repeatedly do. They either refuse to confirm or deny, or sometimes they deny. They never say, yeah, sure, we did it, lest Russia up the ante. I mean, how much more can they up the ante unless it's going to be weapons of mass destruction? And there was that overnight bombardment of Kyiv. Now, the Ukrainians said 30 missiles were fired. They managed to bring down 29 of them. Six of them were Kinjal missiles, meaning dagger. Russia's latest missile, hypersonic, is it goes something like 6,000 kilometers an hour, so meant to be unstoppable. And so the Ukrainians claim to have brought down five out of the six, which is very impressive if true. Even one out of the six is quite impressive, because you think the United States will have more advanced air defense kit than what they provided to the Ukrainians. And remember, these Kinjals, they cost several million dollars a pop. And the Ukrainians claim to have suffered only three wounded civilians, no dead civilians at all, would be an ignominious failure. You think that is tens of millions of dollars worth of missiles the Russians have fired. Now, maybe the Ukrainians are exaggerating. Perhaps it was only 15. Perhaps they only stopped even half of them. Maybe the figure's a bit higher than three wounded. Maybe there are a few killed. But nevertheless, it was still a very unsuccessful attack for Russia. And the Russians claim to have taken out one of these air defense units that the Ukrainians have. So the Russians claim to have destroyed a Ukrainian air defense unit, but there's not much evidence of that. I think that's not true. And the Ukrainians have got to write three Patriot air defense batteries, which consists of various components, like whatever the missiles actually fire, the radar system and the something else. I'm not a technical person, as you can tell. And these are very expensive, many crew, up to $1 billion. And millions of dollars for one of these Patriot missiles. But anyway, certainly seem to be doing their job. But they're reluctant to use them against fairly low-grade missiles or drones because they're not worth it, because those drones are so cheap, the Shahid drones and so on, meaning Marta in Fars or Arabic, you know, they're Iranian-supplied. So it seems that Russia's air campaign is brain dead. They're almost never flying their jets and helicopters now. So Ukrainian air defense is getting better as the Russian Air Force is getting worse. I mean, some of their units have been taken out. They'll be missing components, spare parts for their planes, for their missiles and so on, the transponders, microchips. And obviously they're managing to work around, but they might find that a little bit more difficult, especially if Kılıç İmamoğlu becomes president of Turkey, which I don't think he's going to. Anyway, and Russia will have less money to spend on this. There'll be a huge budget deficit. There's something like $145 billion into deficit already in 2023. So we like quadruple their deficit last year, just won't be able to finance it. And they have to pay over the odds for certain imports because other countries are risking secondary sanctions. They just want to make a profit, you know, selling things on they bought from Western countries. So it seems that to me that their air campaign is going nowhere. You know, Russia still has numbers, still is quite resilient, has a huge economy. They're drafting hundreds of thousands of people. Can just sheer numbers win them, or just throwing them at the Ukrainians, which they tried in Bakhmut, ultimately without success. You know, they supposedly lost five for every one the Ukrainian lost, and that's what Prigozhin is saying. But you know, there are pro-war bloggers in Russia who will lacerate the top brass and say that the strategy is failing and so on, and they're not prosecuted for supposedly disseminating fake news. So long as they're za Rodina, showing the Z symbol, they say yes, the special military operation is right, and advance some sort of justificatory bogus argument claiming that there's a fascist Kyiv regime committing genocide, which is why this is warranted, it's historical Russian soil and stuff like that. So they're allowed a lot of latitude. And so from there we can hear a rather candid assessment of how badly wrong the Russian campaign is going. Obviously mustn't be too much crying. There's been terrible suffering on the Ukrainian side. And so really the only limiting fact is how much in terms of armaments and money are pro-Ukrainian countries willing to provide. That may eventually be exhausted. Right, thank you for watching my channel. Goodbye.